Welcome back to the Chain Show here with Simon Phillips. I have a very special guest today, Simon Etherington, who I believe his official title is Chief Strategist and Implementer at the GC Index. Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Simon. Thanks very much for having me on the show today.
Ah, my pleasure. I love your Zoom background, by the way. So you're going to have to explain a bit later all about those numbers, but very colourful. So first question, how long have you been involved with the GC Index?
Since about 4 years now. I mean, it's my first time I've been involved in what I would call the people space. So I've been in traditional business, corporate business before, but this is very different. And I've always felt in my career that there's that extra edge that says, how can we get the best out of people? And this is kind of helping, which is great.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. As you know, I've done a few shows with Dr. John, chief psychologist behind the tool, and we've had some fun trying to work out who the different musicians are on the wheel, but we'll come back to music later. So tell the listeners and the viewers, Simon, a little bit about you.
Okay, well, I guess I started out in my career at IBM, which was very formative actually, because in those days, this is in the middle 80s, IBM believed that the sales function was a profession. And so they spent a lot of time and effort training people up to be professional salespeople. In fact, you could get a very high career going through within sales within IBM. And that kind of led me, if you're at the start with, to say that sales is something which sometimes people think of as a bad thing. But for me, it was a profession. It was had certain training. We went through 2 years of training before we even got to go and see a client at IBM. So it was very much looking at how we could present the company in the best way. I think that's probably the best way of looking at it. And having been there for 10 years, I got my 10-year clock. And at the same meeting with my manager, I said that I'm sorry, I'm leaving now. So I felt that I needed to broaden my experience, etc. Yeah. And I then spent 11 years at SAP. Now, again, SAP, very formative for me, because SAP is all about understanding business processes. So they were mapping out assets, basically, assets being people, property, any kind of element that we were looking to sell or to promote. And it was mapping out that business process. And therefore, that really helped me understand how do companies work, you know, what was important to them. And also it started to say that data was a really huge part of this. If we could have view and then access to common data that we could all use, then that was brilliant. And it was the ability to start understanding our businesses in a much better way. I was fortunate enough to end up on the exec board of SAP in the UK for 4 of those years, and really loved the company. It was fantastic. And then I left to really start to head up, I guess, a couple of software companies. The last one was a company that I kind of ran in the UK, and we ended up selling the business for €1 billion. And that was a great experience as well in its own right. And having done that, I actually knew the founders. I knew Dr. John, I knew Nathan. In fact, they used to be suppliers to me when I was at SAP, which is quite interesting. And they said, look, what are you up to? Why don't you come and have a look and see what we're up to here? And so I did. Got under the covers of it. I thought the GC Index was absolutely amazing. And now I'm part of the business and thoroughly enjoying it.
They lured you in.
They did lure me in. Yeah, it literally was like that. So, and I'm very happy they did as well, which is great.
Yeah, it does seem to have that effect on people in terms of the, you know, the sheer power of the model. You immediately get it. And as you say, I mean, you're somebody who's not necessarily from a background where it was always focused on people, but you could still see the value of it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember when I was at SAP, I brought Myers-Briggs into my part of the business, and I loved Myers-Briggs. It was a great way of understanding individuals, etc. But I'd been using it for about 20 years or so, and I'd realized that I'd never made a business decision using it. So how are we going to use this data about people to really help us drive forward what we're trying to achieve in our organizations? And this is where the difference is. Now we've got this data which we can use basically to help any kind of business decision. It's that final piece of the jigsaw for me. You know, I've gone through my career, enjoying my career, but also trying to work out what's that last 5% that we can really make a difference on. This is it for me.
So as a strategy implementer, how would you say that's guided you through your career for the business decisions that you've made personally, do you think?
Well, of course, I didn't know I was a strategy implementer until about 4 years ago. But once I did find out about this and understood myself a bit more, it made sense of my career. And that's another thing that people are seeing some value in, because in fact, my favorite saying has always been, I love it when a plan comes together, which for those of you old enough is from the A-team. If that's not a strategist implementer saying, I don't know what is. So when I look back now, I can see in my career areas where reasons I was successful in a particular role, but also where I didn't enjoy it. Yeah, and maybe I moved on from different roles because of that as well. So it's definitely made sense of my career from that perspective, yes.
So are we going to see you with a big cigar in your mouth, Simon? You know, looking like Hannibal.
Well, apart from that, I don't smoke. But look, I think, you know, we do have grand ambitions at the GC Index. We are looking to impact over 10% of the world's population, because it's not just the business world that we're engaged in. There's also the education world. We have a sister product called the Young People Index, which is for 11 to 18 year olds. And that's going through schools around the world at the moment. And we're also impacting on public sector, even sports now. We've got quite a few rugby clubs started to use the GCNX. And we're looking at sort of helping the coaching world in rugby as well. And that will extend to other sports as well. So yeah, this is really impactful. And I think the biggest thing I love about it now is that we've got a huge community. You know, we've now got coming up towards 700 what we call GCologists around the world. And this community is a like-minded community that believes that this data can make a difference in the world. And that's something which, again, keeps us all motivated.
Love it. Someone who loves it when a plan comes together. So, Simon, how's the plan going to come together in terms of catapulting GC Index to the levels where it's impacting 10% of the world's population?
Thanks, Simon. Well, obviously, we can't do that on our own. And therefore, our whole model is that we are a partner-centric business. So a partner to us is an organization that's providing services to its clients or the people that it's looking to help, which are people-based services. So it could be any kind of consulting company, any kind of recruitment company, any coaching company, education, training, and so on. So we estimate that in the areas that we can help, or our partners can help clients, maybe 30 to 40% of all companies are providing services around people to help them. So it's potentially a large community. Therefore, what we do is we help those partners to understand how to embed the GCNX data into the services that they're providing to their clients, where they're then helping their clients make better decisions and to be able to use this data for insight that enables them to achieve things that they maybe can't achieve without it. So that's the plan. And we've got over 270 global partners now. Some of them are individual people. So they could be leadership coaches, for example. But some of the partners are very large companies as well. People like FTI Consulting, Capita, and so on. So yeah, that's how we're going to get to that 10% in the world's population.
Love it. And you said that, you know, it helps people and organizations make business decisions. So in what areas are those decisions? Are they just focused on the people's dimension?
Well, certainly, of course, the people dimension. And you know, some people look at this and they say, well, you know, it's about people, therefore it must be a people tool or an HR tool. Actually, that's not where it starts. It starts as a business tool because it's helping business leaders and business managers make better business decisions. The fact that it also supports HR business processes is a bonus as well, actually, you know. So we kind of start out at the leadership team, because each individual member of the team will then understand, you know, where they want to make an impact in the business, where they want to be valued for their contribution in the business, and how to get the best out of each other. But then we'll also look at them as a team, and we'll say, you know, how is this team as an entity aligned to the business strategy? How is it making decisions as a team? And how is it communicating to its key stakeholders, whether those stakeholders are shareholders or prospects or clients or partners, and of course, employees. Okay. Yeah. So that information, that data then gives them an insight in terms of how not only to make the best decisions, but also to communicate that in the best way to the key stakeholders.
Yeah, I've used the tool quite often in change processes, helping organizations to deal with change. So the stakeholder piece that you mentioned is absolutely vital to what we do. What aspects of the tool have you seen helping most when it comes to making change happen?
Well, change is an interesting one because, of course, it's the only constant. Every company is constantly going through change. And when we recognize that as change, there's a few things that happen, first of all. First of all, what is the process of change? So the GCNS can help us understand what are we going to be doing in this change and what do we need and when to make that change successful from a business perspective. And then we can start thinking about, okay, how do we align our people and our resources to achieve the best outcome for that change? Now, that could be, you know, simple questions like, who do we put in the project team for success? You know, who are our change agents across the business that are going to help us drive out the change? And who, some people might be resistant to change as well. You know, let's understand that and understand why they might be resistant and then have a different kind of conversation with them to ensure that they understand what's going on there. So those are some key elements. But the biggest one is really understanding what the change process is so that we're aligning everyone with the different activities and tasks within that change process so that we get our best outcome, which is excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Let's bring this to life then. So can you think of a recent example where you've been working with a team or an organization and the GC Index has made the difference, if you like, or it's highlighted some key business challenges for them?
Yes, I think of two, actually. One is just more of a people one, and the other one's more of a business process one. So the first people one, this is probably about 18 months ago now, we worked with a smaller organization. They're about a £5 million business. So they're small, but they've grown up. And what they do is they provide HR directors as interims to small and medium-sized companies. They were looking at recruiting a new operations director. And they came to us and said, look, can you help? So the first thing we did was that we profiled the current leadership team. There were only three of them, and they built this business up together, and they started out together. So we profiled them all first, and all three of them had a very similar profile. In our terminology, they're all game changer polishers. Now, game changers, that wasn't much of a surprise to us in a way, because game changers tend to be entrepreneurs. You know, they like to think that things can be done better, and they've got the drive to go out and do it. So kind of a definition of an entrepreneur. And they've all got similar profiles. We tend to find that people like to work with people who are similar as well. Yeah. So the downside of all of this was that they all had a lower energy around implementing. Now, it didn't mean that they weren't good at it, because they'd obviously built a business from nothing up to a £5 million business. But as soon as they got to a point where they could afford to have an ops director in the business, or a new role, I should say, in the business, they decided that they want an ops director to do the areas where they had less energy for. We can all relate to that. So they went out and found three candidates. Now, the key criteria for these candidates from a GCNX perspective was that they had to have at least six energy level in the implementer, because that was the area we needed to focus on. But of course, we're not just recruiting people based on the GC Index. They also had to have the right expertise in terms of their skill base. They also had to have the right experience, so they'd done this before. And of course, their personality, you know, had to at least, you know, fit in or not be something which they couldn't work with. The GCNX was the fourth indicator, if you like, and a fourth data point on top of those other three. And when we profiled the three candidates, they all had six or more in implementer. So that was great. So, you know, from an energy perspective, they all wanted to get engaged in that area, which is fantastic. But they were all quite different. We had a strategist implementer. We had a game changer implementer. And we had an implementer strategist. And we are all different. I mean, the GCNX, there are 100,000 different potential profiles. So we all make an impact in a different way. And when they looked at the data, it then helped them to understand which person would fit best into them. So they wanted someone who was going to be open to their new ideas, because if they were just not listening, that wouldn't be so good. They also wanted someone who was open to the culture of the company, because it was a hearts and minds company with a load of associates, not a command and control company. And they also wanted to ensure that, you know, obviously the person was focused on the operational side of the business. So using that additional data they had, it became much clearer about who they chose in that example. So that was a case of fitting people in based on the data that we've got, so that that individual is most energized and engaged in the role, but they also fit within the team. Make sure that everyone understands what contribution they're going to make in that team. So that's kind of a people one. if you like. If I look at a business one, we're currently working with a large global pharmaceutical who are rolling out an ERP project. And of course, you know, large ERP projects are not only extremely expensive to provide, but they also impact probably the majority of the departments across the whole the organization. So yeah. This is a very big thing, a very big investment. They're using the GCNX for three areas. One is to help understand the stakeholders. How do we manage our stakeholders and how do we set their expectations as we're going through this program using the GCNX data? Secondly, the project itself. What does the project look like? What do we need? Activities do we need as we go through the different project elements? And who are we going to align to those tasks, to the project team, the project director, and so on? And finally, a really big one is how do they embed this into business as usual? It's all very well doing a project where we roll it out, but how do we then target each particular part of the business, understand that business from a GCNX perspective, and say, how are they going to use this data and embed it in the best possible way so that for them it makes sense?
Sorry, Simon, I was going to say the middle one there, the alignment piece. So when I've done the GCNX with teams, quite often the bit that they find liberating is the opportunity to do something different. So for example, the financial manager doesn't just have to be focused on the financial aspects of the project, which they have capability around. If they've got energy around Game Changer, for example, get involved in the brainstorming, in the opportunities to think through new ways of doing things. And that can happen at any point in the process. And it's those sorts of little examples that just empower people to work out how else they can contribute, doesn't it?
It does. And you make a fascinating point, because this is about empowerment for individuals, because we're providing them with a language that they can use with their boss, with their colleagues and people who work with them, that says, look, this is how to get the best out of me. This is when to really use me. But also, this is where not to use me, in a way that's not confrontational and everyone understands it. And so therefore we increase our well-being. You know, people are happier in their role, and that's fantastic.
Brilliant. Simon, that's really enlightening. Thanks for that. Simon, it's been fascinating hearing how you piece this together, you know, and I can see the cogs whirring in your head in terms of how it fits together as the process evolves. So thank you for that. But Simon, one of the things that we like to share on the show is individuals' experience of change in their lives and how they got through it. Have you got something in mind that you could maybe share with the listeners?
Yes, I'll take an example. I was when I was at SAP, so I moved from a sales role, you know, single contributor role, if you like, within the business, straight to a director role looking after public sector. So it was a two-level jump. And my MD said, look, we think you could do it. And it was great. But it was quite a change for me from a personal perspective. All of a sudden, I hadn't managed people before. So it's my first management role. I think I had around about 45 people in the division that I was then having to look after. And all of a sudden, I had to think about, how am I going to do this? You know, and how am I going to engage with people? What is the plan? And the plan is very important to me. I am a strategist, so I need to have a plan. And how am I going to make it happen? So who are the people that are going to get involved, if you like? And I think there were two things that I think really helped me in that process. The first thing that I did was I created a kind of like a mini board within the company. Now, I put together, obviously, people that were directly reported to me on that board, so because we were all focused on what we had to achieve, which is pretty much helping SAP sell more into the public sector. That was our goal. But we also needed support from other parts of the business. And so I created this kind of pseudo board, and I had people from the services part of the business, from the legal part, from the finance part, etc. And it would meet, you know, once a month, and no one had done something like this before, because what I wanted to do was to get every part of the business aligned to our plan. So it comes back again to that strategy, having a structure for me that was an important element. And that worked really well, and we had a lot of engagement. But one of the things I know I'm not particularly good at, if you like, is necessarily reading people as well as some people can. Yeah. What I now, in hindsight, look back on, to see what I did in a couple of scenarios in my career, including that one, I recruited a playmaker as my right-hand person. Playmakers you know, are incredible people because they can read and ask different questions around people that I just don't. You know, they're focused on understanding people and getting the best out of them. And having a right-hand person that was a playmaker enabled me then to get my ideas across to the team, that we could ensure that we were aligning them to what was important to other people, etc., in a way that really supported the business. And the upshot was that we grew the business from its 10% of SAP's business to 30% of their business over 3 years. It was a great and really enjoyable time in my career as well. Yeah. So I think that those are the key things that I learned. And looking back, of course, now that I see my strategist implementer kind of proclivity, if you like, in terms of my energy, which is really what I focus on, which is basically, you know, big picture, coming up with a plan and then making sure we execute on it. And then my lower playmaker score, which is, you know, I'm looking then for people to compliment me. And as a team, then we are bigger than the sum of our parts, as it were.
Yeah. So
that's been a really important part to learning in my career.
And reinforces the quicker people get this in their career, the better. Mm. Which is, you really can't achieve anything on your own, anything of real significance on your own. And you do need that team around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you start seeing the huge differences there are amongst people. Mm. You know, it's not necessarily apparent because we kind of walk around the planet with one view of the world in our head. And with the GCN, we then start to break that down at a simple level into 1 in 5. But then we break it down into 1 in 20, which is our leadership style, how we go about leading people. And then finally, we break it down into 1 in 100,000 people. So it starts to explain that there is a huge amount of difference in society and in the world. And unfortunately, that creates frustration, conflict. And what we're trying to do with the GCN next is, first of all, understand the difference and then turn any frustration into collaboration. How do we get the best out of each other? And that's what's so powerful about it.
Yeah, oh, I love it. Thanks, Simon. Okay, listen. Never mind about all this working with global superstars and amazing companies all over the world. The most important here on the Change Show is what's your favorite track? What's the track that inspires you when you're maybe feeling down or you just need a boost? What is it for you, Simon?
Well, I was born in the 60s. I think like many children when they're growing up, their parents influence their music. And certainly, you know, I can remember listening to this on car trips, you know, when we're being driven in the back of the car and we're kind of half asleep, etc. And my father was a big influence in my career. He was 25 years at IBM, and I kind of followed in his footsteps, if you like. So the song is Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations.
Excellent.
Which is one that I can just totally relate to, both from that era, and it really got me into the whole Motown space, but also, you know, because of that importance in my life and my career that my father had.
Love it. Excellent. Thank you, Simon. So here is Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations. There you go. Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations. An awesome track, Simon. Well done. And an amazing addition to the Change Show playlist on Spotify. So if you love your playlist, there's a whole load of inspiration from all of our guests. So thank you for choosing that one. That's the first time it's been chosen. So it's a great, great addition. Simon, how can people find out more about you or the GC Index, or how can they get in touch? What's going to be the best way for them to find you?
Well, I mean, our website's always a fantastic starting point. So it's www.thegcindex.com. So go and do that. And yeah, just reach out to us just through there.
Fantastic. Simon, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you today. Thank you for coming on and explaining a lot more about the GC Index. And as you say, the thing that's really starting to differentiate it is the data set that's sitting behind it and the power. I've seen it with the teams I work with, the power that has to help people make really great business decisions is incredible. So thanks for spending some time today.
Well, thank you, Simon. Thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Brilliant. There you go then. That was The Change Show with Simon Phillips. I'll be right back here next week with another guest. Until then, have a great week.